Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4 this morning. This morning we want to see what God's Word has to say about thinking correctly about discernment. There's a handout in the bulletin that I think would be helpful for you if you're able to get one. That could help you see where we're heading as we walk through this passage of Scripture together. I'm going to start reading in Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 8 and 9 this morning. Probably a very familiar passage of Scripture to a number of us, but one that I think is very, very important and was strategically inserted into this letter by the Holy Spirit for the Philippians and for our benefit and for our application this morning. If you're in Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Before we start working through these verses, let's ask God's blessing on our time and His Word. Our Heavenly Father, we come to Your Word this morning with hearts that are needy, with lives that are at times sinful. Father, I thank You for Your Word and how it can cleanse us and show us where we need to change. We thank You for Your Word that gives us clear guidance so that we can obey You with our lives and live a life of full satisfaction and joy in Your presence. Father, I pray this morning as we look into Your Word that Your Spirit would truly search our hearts as we just sang, that He would know our thoughts, and if there's any wicked or sinful way in us that needs to change, Father, may You give us repentance. May we repent. May we change. May we go forward from here this morning, not with hearts that are undiscerning, but with hearts that have a desire to have Christ-centered discernment in our lives. I thank You for the promises of Your Word. We come this morning with confidence to Your Word, knowing that if we will apply what You teach us in Your Word, that we will truly live lives of joy, of fulfillment, of glory and worship to You. So we pray that Your Spirit would do a work in our hearts this morning, and we ask this in Your name. Amen. Today, especially in this passage, we're going to see again this constant theme that we have been examining as we go through Philippians, and that is thinking correctly and living correctly, learning to think God's thoughts and to live correctly in light of His truth. In chapter 4, just a quick review of where we're at, Paul has been giving some last final exhortations as he's about to close off this letter and send it off to the church in Philippi. In chapter 4, at the beginning, he exhorts two women in the church to be like-minded, to not be at odds with one another, to be unified, and he encourages them to remember the gospel and to pursue reconciliation. And then on the heels of that, we looked at this last time together, he encourages the church about dealing with anxiety, something that all of us are confronted with, worry, trusting God. How are we going to make it through today? How is God going to work out the situation? And he encourages the church to realize that anxiety ends when worship begins, to be worshiping God instead of being anxious. And then this morning we see this passage that is challenging us to obey God through pursuing discernment. I believe the big idea for us this morning that the Spirit would have us walk away with is that obedience to God requires Christ-centered discernment. When we think of obeying God's Word, that's really what defines a Christian, isn't it? We are obeying what God has called us to do. He has called us to believe in Jesus Christ. He has called us to live as light in our world. A hallmark or the standard for Christians is that they will obey God's Word. And yet our obedience to God's Word requires that we understand His Word and that we have discernment so that we can have His discernment, His wisdom. So as we live in a world that is filled with darkness and filled with opportunities, and we have to figure out what is the right decision to make, we do it based upon God's Word with discernment. I have been very burdened in my own heart and also for, I believe, just our church, that this area of discernment is something that we need to be praying about. We need to be pursuing Christ-like discernment. Lord willing, this fall, we will begin a brief series of just pursuing Christ-like discernment. What does God have to say about this? What does God have to say about this? What does God have to say maybe even about some debatable topics? How do I have discernment in these type of situations? And I think this is very, very important for us to understand how God wants us to live and glorify Him. Charles Spurgeon said that discernment is not simply a matter of telling the difference between what's right and what's wrong. Rather, it is the difference between right and almost right. To have discernment means that we're not just making the obvious decision. For instance, there could be some obvious things that we should or shouldn't do. Now, there's been a lot of news lately, about months, about the solar eclipse that's taking place tomorrow, right? You guys, how many of you are planning on looking at the solar eclipse? No? Okay. Don't look at the sun. I wanted to see it, but some people are like, oh, I don't know. Am I supposed to look at it or not? Everyone's saying, don't look at the sun. Okay, there's a solar eclipse taking place tomorrow. I think it's like at 2:40, okay? Something like that. We should be able to see it. But discernment would say, or maybe it's not even discernment, it's obvious. I don't think I'm going to get some binoculars tomorrow and look at the sun, okay? That would be an obvious thing. But then there's been a lot of articles, I'm sure you've seen them online or on news reports, about, well, get these special glasses or get these things here. If you're going to look, have discernment is basically what they're saying. It's okay if you want to look at that. I don't know if I'm going to. I might just stay inside. I don't know. But there's a lot of articles to promote discernment about the solar eclipse. In our own spiritual Christian lives, everyday lives, there's some very easy decisions that shouldn't be hard for us as a Christian to know what's right or wrong. Should I share the gospel with this neighbor of mine? Okay, yes. Yes, I know I should, but I may need discernment in how I go about sharing this so I follow what God has to say about being honorable and just and true and righteous as I share the gospel. Should I read my Bible today? Yes. Okay. Discernment isn't so much needed for that, but discernment could be needed. How should I read my Bible? What should I study? Where should I go in God's Word? The question of should I meditate on God's Word today isn't really a question, is it? It shouldn't be. We need to be meditating on God's Word, but perhaps we need discernment to know how to meditate, how best to study. Should I show love to my family members, to my children, my spouse, my parents, my family? Yes. Some situations are difficult, though. So God, now I need your discernment, I need your wisdom, so I can lovingly show them Christ in a way that glorifies you. And there's obviously some maybe even more difficult situations. Perhaps there's a coworker that you've been witnessing to, and you've been trying to show them Jesus Christ, and they, in friendship, invite you to go with them to an office party at the local bar. What do you do? How do you make that decision? You need discernment. A significant, perhaps, promotion at work is presented to you by a boss or by a CEO or a higher-up authority at work, and they offer you this promotion, but you realize that that promotion is going to have to come at the cost of you sacrificing perhaps a little of your integrity. And although no one will know but your boss, you have a decision to make. Think of relationships. Who should I make close relationships with and why? Or who should I marry? Or as I study the scriptures, I find that there might be, I don't see, you know, I'm reading through scripture, I don't see any direct commands to abstain from alcohol, but you see overwhelming commands against drunkenness or being controlled by any substance. You have to make the right decision. What's the discerning decision to make? What's the right decision to make? Perhaps this might be more for teens, but adults, this can happen too. Maybe you're invited to go see a movie or you're invited to a party, but you know that there's going to be a movie being watched and you know that part of that movie is going to be full of some immoral scenes or full of profanity, but you don't want your friends to think that you're no fun. So which decision are you going to make? Where does discernment come in? You know the Scriptures give clear exhortation to meeting together regularly with God's family throughout the week, but you want, there's that craving to stay home, to stay and get involved in some work projects or pursue that sports team opportunity. And maybe it's on a Sunday or a Sunday night or even a Wednesday night or other times when the church family is meeting regularly. And there's this, should I go or should I not? You need discernment to make the right decision. You might be saying in your heart right now, okay, Pastor Sam, trying to go full-blown legalist this morning? And I would say no, not at all. Legalism is serving God without discernment and serving God out of guilt. No, we don't want to serve God out of guilt or legalism. We are called to a grace-focused, Christ-centered life. And that is living by serving God with discernment, by meditating on His Word and applying it accurately to our lives, but doing so in under the umbrella of God's grace. Because this is what He's done for us. How can we not but go and live for Him and glorify Him? I would say again, our big idea this morning is that obedience to God, if we're truly going to obey God as we ought, as He's called us to, then it's require us to have Christ-centered discernment, focusing on Christ. So we look at verse 8, and we begin into this passage this morning. We see that Paul is going to give two commands, one command at the end of verse 8 and one command at the end of verse 9. The first command says, think about or think on these things. That's going to be our first point of our focus this morning. Then the second command is going to be at the middle of chapter or verse 9. It says, practice these things or do these things. And that'll be our second section we'll look at. First of all, let's examine the command that we're given to think with Christ-centered discernment. Paul is basically saying in verse 8, think before you act. Have you ever heard that before? Your parents ever told you that before? Maybe growing up? Think before you act. What are you thinking about? Think through what you're going to do before you actually go and do it. This command here in verse 8 to think about these things, the word there is a unique word. It is more like an accounting word. It has the idea of thinking, giving careful consideration about. Carefully think about these list of virtues that Paul is going to mention. And if nothing, if the activity that you're about to partake in or the decision you're about to partake in does not line up with these things, then you ought not to do them. You ought to move on or do something different. The command, one author has said, the command to think requires his readers to give careful thought to a matter, to consider, to ponder, to let one's mind dwell on something. Paul is calling here for followers of Christ to be attentive, to be reflective, to be meditative thinkers. This doesn't mean that we just sit and we, you know, like some people would do, become a hermit and go to a cave and just sit and meditate all the time. This is what he's talking about. He's saying before we make our decisions, before we just go and rush into something, we need to seek God's word, to seek His face. And maybe we don't have hours to make a decision. Maybe we need to make a decision right now. When that time comes, if we're not grounded and living with Christ-centered discernment, then we will not make a decision that's based upon what God wants. It'll be based upon what we want. So let's look at verse 8 and let's see what Paul is saying here. He says, finally, brothers. He said finally a couple times. In chapter 3, verse 1, he says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. You're like, Paul, are you getting towards the end of your letter or not? You keep saying, finally, finally. He's basically, this word finally can have the idea of furthermore, furthermore, or summing up what I just said. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let's just quickly look at this list of virtues. It's interesting that in Paul's day, the Greeks had their own list of virtues. They had their own list of, well, if you want to be the perfect human being, then you should do these things. And it's interesting that some of the aspects, like when he says if there's any excellence, that's one word that the Greeks actually said. You need to have excellence in your life. If you want to be the perfect person, you need to be excellent in everything you do. You need to have all these things. And interesting here that Paul, remember he talked about their citizenship in heaven before? He says, our citizenship is in heaven. Because of that, God has a list of virtues for you to pursue as His children, Don't get caught up with the virtues of your worldly culture and what they say is important. Look to what God says is important and have discernment to go forward. He first of all says, whatever is true. Basically, this means what is in accordance with God's truth, the Bible, instead of error. This makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense that he starts out with this one too. This kind of covers everything. I'm presented with this opportunity, this decision to make. Is this going to go against what God's word clearly says? If it does, then we ought not do it, right? That would be discernment. It would not be discernment to say, well, yeah, but you don't know my own personal desires. You don't know what I want to do. No, I have to do what God's called me to do. This is what's true. He goes on to say, honorable, that which is noble or above reproach, the opposite of dishonorable and vulgar. There are many things out there that are dishonorable opportunities. And Paul is saying, don't go that way. Instead, pursue Christ-centered discernment. Pursue what God desires and only engage in activities that are honorable and above reproach, that don't give an opportunity for people to look at your testimony for Christ and say, what are they doing? They're not living like a Christian. He goes along to say, what is just? This idea has the idea of what is right in the eyes of God, both spiritually and morally. And I think it's important that we understand that all of these things he's saying, they're not exhaustive, but also they're not one and the same. They all connect together. It's like one beautiful jewel. And these are the different facets of the jewel, discernment. If we are discerning, it will be something that is in line with God's word. And because it's in line with God's word, it will be honorable. It will be right. It will be right in the eyes of God, both spiritually, morally, and even practically for the Christian. He goes on to say pure. Our culture wants to redefine what purity means. Here, I believe the Bible is speaking of purity, morally blameless things, whether they be thoughts or motives or obviously expressions and actions. Is this going to promote purity? Is this going to promote purity in my life or in my testimony for Jesus Christ? Is this relationship that I have showing a pure relationship with God? Is this activity I have going to encourage me to pursue righteousness, or is it going to encourage me to pursue impurity? These are hard decisions sometimes, aren't they? They really are. Because sometimes many times it means saying no and having to perhaps displease our children or displease our own selves or say, you know, I really was looking forward to that. But then I came aware of this. Well, the question we have to ask is, who are we worried about offending at the end of the day? Are we worried about offending ourselves or our friends or God? Whatever things are lovely, this is a unique word. It says, whatever is lovely. The idea here is that which God would call and esteem as genuinely beautiful. There's a number of things that God calls beautiful. One, he says, behold how beautiful it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. God sees the unity of his family a beautiful, beautiful thing. There's another instance where I think in 1 Peter and in 1 Corinthians, Paul and Peter are both talking to the ladies of the church, and he says, oh, God sees beauty in you when you have a spirit that loves and wants to serve and wants to help the body and help your family. That's beautiful in the eyes of God. Don't just look at your outward beauty, but look at the inward beauty of the heart, Peter will say. Those things that God does not see as genuinely beautiful or right or pure or honorable, we need to say no. And we need to look to the Lord sometimes when we don't know. How many of you heard that phrase? If it's doubtful, what? Don't do it. Have you heard that? I hope we've heard that. If there's any doubt in our minds, when we go to the Lord and we ask him to help us and there is doubt in our minds, then it very well could be that he is saying no. Or it may be saying, you keep seeking my face and I'll give you more direction. But something that is doubtful for the Christian, we ought not to engage in. We need to see why the doubt is there. Is the doubt there because of a lack of faith in God? Or is the doubt there because God is clearly showing me this is not right? And this is not what he's calling me to do at this time. The last one here he says is commendable. What God delights to commend or give a good report to as wise. I think that's what that term commendable is going towards. What God does commend, what he approves, and what he would say is wise. Paul, in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, is going to remind them, these Christians, that although their culture may say, this is okay, this is culturally acceptable. Have we heard that term today? This is culturally acceptable. We won't put you in jail for this. This is fine. Just because your culture says you can go this way doesn't necessarily mean that God says we can go this way. We know this, right? We know this. The reality, or the frustrating thing, or the bewildering thing then is, why don't we live this way? Why do we yield to sinful realities that would not line up with this? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Here he's talking about spiritually helpful. He's saying, and that's not according to God's law, but he's saying, according to your day, everything's lawful. I could go out and get drunk at the bar, at the place where they would get drunk. I could go out to the temple and have an immoral relationship with a prostitute. I could go out and do all these things, because that's what your law says and your culture says it's okay. But no, that's not right. And it's definitely not spiritually helpful. He goes, all things are lawful for me. That was a phrase the Corinthians would have. But he says, but I will not be enslaved by anything. All things are lawful, he says, but not all things build up or edify. We start to see that our decisions for discernment are not just about our life, but they're how our decision will impact the life of the body of Christ as well. Is my decision going to help my brother or sister in their walk with Christ? Or is it something that is going to confuse them and cause them to think that it's okay to not live a life that is one pursuing Christ-centered discernment? When we get to the end of commendable, whatever is commendable, he says, if there is any excellence, and if there is any praise or anything worthy of praise, that's where the command comes. Think about all these kind of things. Think about them before you do them, is what he's saying. That phrase, if there is any, it's meant to reinforce everything that he's said up to this point. And the next two words are nouns. They're not adjectives. There was the adjective of what's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. But now he says, if there's any excellence, excellence of character, excellence of content, if there's any excellence in God's eyes about this, and he says, if it's worthy of praise, if there are things here that these things are going to help you live a life that God wants you to live of praise and worship to him, then go for it. Now, some people would say, no, wait, hold on, Pastor Sam. So how does this work out? Should I go to the baseball game? Okay. Well, is this going to help me praise and worship God? What are you saying? I would say, as I go to even watch this baseball game, am I going to be able to have a good Christian testimony here? And are there things going that are going to be around me, or things that I might look like I'm participating in that I don't want to be around? And I want to be careful. There's a difference between going sometimes to one particular venue and another particular venue. Remember when we lived in Milwaukee and the Brewers up there? And they're called the Brewers for a reason, okay? Because a lot of people like to drink up there. And a baseball game there was a lot different than a baseball game when we went to when we lived in Cleveland. It was very easy to be caught up in a drunken argument. And you never knew who was going to sit around you. And so Dad was just like, you know what, I don't want to put you guys in that situation. Now that was, in his eyes, a discerning move. Could there have been a Christian that said, no, it's not going to be a problem. We're going to sit far away. I know my seats. It's not going to be an issue. Perhaps. So when it comes to discernment, it doesn't always mean that we're all going to make the exact same decision in the exact same venue. But it does mean that we all need to be going to God's Word. We need to be thinking about, what is this? Even in the decision to go and do something in the form of entertainment. And the things that really matter, though, that are obvious, I believe God will lead all of us to make that right decision if we're really pursuing discernment. We will not allow ourselves to be put in places where we will compromise our testimony for Jesus Christ. We see that he says, of all these things, if they fit this criteria, if they're in line with this criteria, then think about, meditate on these kind of things. Don't think about and meditate on things that are not going to help you in your spiritual life. Think about what God would say is excellent and worthy of praise. I don't know what issues in your life perhaps you're having to work through. Some of you have shared some things that you're looking for wisdom for, or looking for discernment for. But all of us are going to be confronted with situations, maybe even every day, that we need to exercise and pursue Christ-centered discernment. How are we doing? How are we doing in that way? We see the second part of this in verse 9, where Paul says, now I don't want you just to think about it, but you need to live this way. This isn't just a mental exercise. Because if we think what's right, but we don't live as right, then we haven't accomplished anything right, have we? Paul is saying, first run to what God says is true. Run to these things, but now apply it. In verse 9, he says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And when you do, the God of peace will be with you. This word command has the idea of practicing as a habit or a way of life. It's not like practice, and it's the idea of perform it regularly, habitually. Live this way. Paul's command, one commentator has said, put into practice, it challenges his readers to move beyond contemplation to action. The time has come to get out of the chair of theoretical reflection about Christ and the Christian life and to press on towards the goal that Paul talked about here in chapter 3, verse 14. I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It only makes sense that if that is our goal, the praise and the upward call of Christ Jesus, our Lord, it makes sense that we would pursue his call now in our life, in the decisions we make and the things that we do. Paul says here that they had learned and received this from him before. He says, he reminds them of what they have already been taught. The Philippians had learned the gospel through Paul's instruction and through their personal experience with Paul as they saw him embody the gospel in his life. They had received this. They had agreed with everything that Paul is saying. So Paul is saying, just continue living this way. Or if you're not living this way, live this way. Pursue Christ-like discernment. Do you realize, you say, why are you saying Christ-like discernment? I don't see any mention of Jesus Christ in here. I would suggest to us that Jesus Christ embodies perfectly what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is commendable. When God, the Father, looks to the Son, he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well, what's the next word? Pleased. Well pleased. Listen to him, is what the Father said to the people. This is my Son. He is God in the flesh. Look to him. And so who better to look to for how to pursue discernment than Jesus Christ and his word? Paul reminds them also not what they have been taught, but what they've seen modeled. When Paul was there for them, he lived this way before them. And he's not a perfect person, and he's not vaunting himself, but he says, just like you saw me live this way, you heard and you saw this in me. In chapter 3, verse 17, he says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. He says, don't isolate yourself from other Christians who are growing in discernment, who are growing in their spiritual walk. Grow together in pursuing Christ-centered discernment. Paul not only preached the gospel, but he showed the way to live the gospel. And that's what he's calling us to do this morning. We talked about this in Sunday school with evangelism. How do we tell people about Jesus Christ? One of the clearest ways is to live Jesus Christ before them. If we are not being discernible, if we are not having discernment in our decisions, then what reason is there for a Christian or an unsaved person to look and say, well, that's what I want, because that's different. I see blessing in your life. I see that you have hope. I see that you have peace that Paul talks about. Boy, does our world need peace today? You look in the news. Lately, we see the chaos, the riots, the hatred, the vile hatred And it's not just in America, it's throughout this world. People are hating one another. There's wars. There's unrest. There is a lack of peace. How do we get peace with God? It's by coming to Jesus Christ. This is why the church is here. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail. But when we look at our political landscape and our cultural landscape, and we see the hatred between different people of different ethnicities and different skin colors, the church is not here to take these people who don't know Christ and tell them, just get along together. It's not going to change anything. The only thing that's going to change and bring true peace to these people is coming to know Jesus Christ. So may we not shortchange our neighbors who are struggling with this. May we tell them, here's why you are really struggling with hatred towards this person who you don't even know, but you're just looking at their skin color. This is why you're struggling, because you need Christ. He can give you a heart that loves Him so that you can love your neighbor as yourself. People quote Scripture. We need to love our neighbor as ourselves, but they don't show how that can happen. It only comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do we believe that? Then we need to tell that to people. The worst thing a Christian can do is to not have discernment when we enter a very delicate time like this and start rebuking and railing on people because they're acting like the blind sinners they truly are. I've used this illustration before. If you saw someone walking into a bus, waiting at a bus stop, and they were obviously visually impaired. They had one of those visually impaired sticks, and you could tell they were blind. They had dark sunglasses on, and they're standing there waiting, and there's a line of people waiting behind them, and the bus comes, and the doors open, and that person is slowly trying to get into the bus, and they're taking a little longer. If you saw someone behind them saying, "Hey, hurry up! Get out of my way! What's taking you so long?" What would you be like? "Well, excuse me? This person can't even see." That's how a number of Christians are acting today. How in the world are you being so hatred to these people because of a different skin color? Or how in the world can these people be saying this? "You're going to hell." As opposed to saying, they're blind. They're spiritually blind. They don't know what they're doing. Just like Christ said on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." No, instead, we reach out with the truth of God's word, but we speak the truth in love. And we speak to both sides of the aisle. We don't speak to just one group or one group. We speak to them all and we say, "Here's the problem." Now you say, "Well, they're not going to listen." You're not called to make them listen. You're called to share the truth. And one of the ways we share the truth is in the decisions that we make. We have Christ-centered discernment to not go and be screaming in their face. We have the discernment to be praying for them and to be loving them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that was a rabbit trail, I'm sorry. It's just been on my heart. We've gone through this week. Paul gives a promise here at the end of verse 9, a reminder. He says, "If you practice these things, if you pursue Christ-centered discernment, then also the God of peace will be with you." He just said, look in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." There he's speaking about anxiety. And he says, if you're anxious, come to the Lord with a heart of thankfulness and worship as you bring the situation to Him. And His peace will totally flood your heart and mind. Here in another situation, he says, you need discernment. And if you will love the things that God loves, and you will pursue the things that He wants you to pursue, you will see His peace in your life, and His presence will be very real to you. This is both comforting and convicting at the same time. Isn't God's presence at times comforting, but also kind of convicting? He's basically saying the God of peace is going to be with you as you go forward. So realize that God is there to comfort you, to encourage you, to give you peace that you're making the right decision, to give you peace that you're pursuing the things that He wants you to pursue. But also, He's there. He's there with you. Don't take Him as the body, or as your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Don't take the temple of the Holy Spirit where it ought not to be. Because if you don't, or if you do, you are not living according to what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, and so on. The promise of God's presence, one commentator says, assures the church that God, the source and sustainer of peace, will lead them to experience the reality of reconciliation with God and with one another. The God of peace will bring good order and harmony in their community worship of God and in their life together. Remember the context again. He starts by talking about the unrest that two ladies had in the church. And then he says, no, pursue those things that are just, honorable, good, right, pure, lovely, of good report or commendable. And the God of peace will be there. And his peace that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. So the big idea this morning is that obedience to God requires Christ-centered discernment. So how do we apply this? Well, I think it's three ways that we can apply this. One, we need to begin pursuing, if we haven't already, or continue pursuing Christ-centered discernment in all areas of life. Not just the easy ones, but the difficult ones. Number two, we need to learn to meditate daily on God's true word. Are we in the word? Are we consistently surrounding ourselves with those things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and of good report or commendable? Are we consistently flooding our minds with the truths of God that are excellent and that are worthy of praise? I pray that we are. If we aren't, we need to start. That's what God's called us to if we're going to be light. Then thirdly, I would say that we must not isolate ourselves from growing Christians. By growing, I mean those who are spiritually healthy. There are some Christians that are trying, you know, that aren't really pursuing Christ as they ought. And this is a challenge to them to continue that way. But then there's other Christians that are pursuing Christ. And they are exercising discernment. It's a beautiful thing when the church is making decisions that glorify God. And they're reconciling with one another when disagreements arise. And they're sharing the gospel. And Paul says, do those kind of things and practice those things. And I would suggest that we do that together. That we don't isolate ourselves. That's why we meet regularly throughout the week. Why do we meet on Sunday? Well, because God told us to. If that's the only reason, then we're missing the whole point. We meet together on Sundays and even throughout the week as God has called us to meet regularly together. We meet to encourage one another, to equip one another, to pray together, to read from the Word together, to consistently be meditating together on the things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and commendable. We wonder, why am I struggling in my life? Why am I just not feeling a little empty spiritually? Why do I feel like I'm stuck in a rut? Could it be that we're not just doing the basic things that God has called us to do? That's discernment. So Paul makes it clear that God will provide his peace when we obey him through Christ-centered discernment. He said, I feel like there's this struggle inside me. I feel like there's this anxiety that I just can't get rid of. Well, are you living your life according to God's beautiful letter of love to you? He does not want you to be feeling like you're at odds with him. He does not want you to feel that you are empty spiritually in your life, because that's not normal for a Christian. A Christian is pursuing God and then receiving the blessings of pursuing him. Jesus has called us to let our light as his church shine, not to be covered with a bushel basket. I'm burdened with this. I've been burdened with this for a number of years. I look at my own life and I see that when I am not discerning in my decisions, that my effectiveness for Christ is much lower. In fact, it's not even effective at all. I'm not living as light as I should. I'm not talking lovingly to my wife or to my boys. I'm not allowing myself to look to God for wisdom. I'm just going forward on my own strength, and that's not how it's supposed to be. I'm burdened for our church. I really feel that our church in some ways is at a crossroads with discernment. Someone could say, well, you're always at a crossroads with discernment. Well, I think we are. I think we always are at a crossroads to make right decisions. But I'm burdened that we are making decisions that glorify God. That we are willing to give him number one in our life and not number two or number three or number four if it fits in our schedule. The church in America as a whole, I believe, is weak and lethargic when it comes to thinking correctly about living as light instead of darkness. Next week, we're going to look at contentment. I think the church in America is weak when it comes to thinking correctly about discontentment instead of contentment and thankfulness. Or whether it be comfort and ease instead of willing to sacrifice and give God your all. The church in America has grown weak in thinking correctly about our relationships and our desires and surrendering those to God versus doing what we want to do. The church in America has grown weak in thinking correctly about our careers and God's plan for our lives and submitting that to God versus just pursuing a career without any thought about what God would have for us. I don't think it's any surprise to hear that the church in America is weak in thinking correctly about our entertainment venues and God's call to holiness. We see Christians so confused, or I would even say people who profess to be Christians because they haven't even heard clearly what it means to be a Christian, and they're making decisions about, I really think that it's okay for me as a guy to marry this other guy. Or it's okay for me as a woman to marry this other woman because God loves everybody. Where is discernment gone? We've lost discernment in the church. If the church is losing discernment, how can we ever think to impact our world for Jesus Christ? The church in America has grown weak about thinking correctly about our testimony and the places we find ourselves in as a temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to have discernment because we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are to be insulated from the world, but not isolated from the world. It takes great discernment. God, how do I live as light for you, but do not allow my light to be like a bushel basket that's covered, as Christ said. The church in America has grown weak in thinking correctly about our family responsibilities and leading our families to pursue Jesus with their life instead of pursue what we want to do. Husbands need to be leading their husbands. Husbands need to be leading their wives. Don't quote that one. Woo! Okay, just seeing if you're paying attention. Okay, good. Husbands need to be leading their wives. And wives need to be loving their husbands. I don't lead Sarah as I ought. And when those times of leading Sarah as I ought are not happening, because I'm not exercising, pursuing Christ-centered discernment. Wives need to have husbands that they can submit to, and they need to love their children as God has called them to. I would say one more area, and there's many, but I think another area the church is weak in America is that we are weak in thinking correctly about our faithfulness as members of God's church. Instead of ignoring God's clear commands, we ignore His commands to gather regularly with God's family. So I would suggest to all of us that we are susceptible to these spiritual weaknesses and many other forms of spiritual lethargy. Some of us here this morning, and I believe I'm speaking to myself as well, some of us here this morning have been spiritually lazy for far too long. And it's time for us to repent of a disobedient lack of discernment. It's time for us to renew our minds and our hearts for the things of God. And this could be a weekly thing, a daily thing. Our flesh does not want to do what's right and just and honorable. Our flesh wants us to do what we want. It's this reality of struggle, right? It's this struggle that we daily face. We need more than ever in this culture that we find ourselves in today to look to Him for discernment. Some of us this morning need to repent of an unthankful, unforgiving, or a bitter spirit towards God that has caused us to lose focus on His goodness and His grace, as we have failed to live a life of Christ-centered discernment. Some of us this morning need to fall on our knees before God because we have not been looking out for the needs of others and have become so self-focused that only what we want matters and only what pleases us is important, instead of living to please God and others for His glory in love. Perhaps some of us this morning need to confess our prejudice towards other people, whether it be because of their social status, because of their ethnic background or their political persuasion. It drives me nuts when I hear Christians, or again, social media is a whole other beast in of itself, but on Facebook or whatever, and they're just bashing people of another political group and thinking that that's going to somehow show them the love of Christ. Or they like something differently than we like. I praise the Lord that many of us here this morning, I believe, are pursuing Christ-centered discernment. Yet perhaps this morning, you know, in your life this week, you've struggled in making decisions that are glorifying to God. Maybe you know that you've made some decisions this past week that were not according to obedience and discernment. Some of us may need to go home today and talk to a spouse or a parent or a brother or a sister in Christ and ask forgiveness for our lack of discernment and how it caused us to maybe even help them go astray in their spiritual focus on God. So I want to do something a little different this morning. I feel this is very, very important. Not because I'm saying it, but because we see it in God's Word. But whatever need God is showing you this morning, I would like all of us, before we sing our next song, before we close the service in prayer, I'd like to ask just to sit where we are, or maybe you want to come down to the front and pray. Maybe you want to kneel there in the seat where you are. Maybe you need to go to another room if needed. But I want us to pray and ask that God would forgive us, if need be, for a lack of discernment. I want us to pray that God would give us discernment. On our handout here, I have this little thing. God's Word is commanding me to stop living without Christ-centered discernment in these specific areas. What areas does God want you to be more discerning in and to be looking to Him for, not doing it in your own strength? So in a moment, we're just going to have a quiet time of prayer. There's no music. I'm not going to be engaging in any persuasive speech. We're just going to pray. I'm going to come down here and I'm going to pray, and I want us to pray and take a couple minutes just to pray. Pray out loud. Feel free to pray quietly where you are. But I want us to, as God's church, pray. And you might say, well, Pastor Sam, I really have been thinking and God's been working in my heart. I can't think of any areas of my life where I'm really not pursuing discernment. Well, could I encourage you to pray that God would and continue to help you to be discerning? That God would help your brothers and sisters in Christ to be discerning? That God would use you to be a discerning disciple of Jesus Christ this morning. So let's just take a moment and pray.